You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
I'm in a great mood. Maybe a little overcast. Maybe we got rain in the forecast. Doesn't matter to me. Good morning, Chris Canty. How are you?
Yeah, I know you're in a good mood anytime you start laying out the weather at the top of the show. I know you're in a great mood. And Dave, I got to tell you, I'm feeling pretty good right now, too. The girlfriend laid out the birthday treatment. She did an exceptional job, so I got to shout out my girl Mel for that. But as great as I felt yesterday and this morning waking up, I can't imagine it was better than how you, Rick, and all the other Mets fans felt after that introductory press conference from Steve Cohen.
Hide the money, y'all. There's poor people around.
The Wilpons with their broke selves. We ain't got to worry about that no more because Steve Cohen is in the building.
It's unbelievable. Good morning, Rick. I mean, you know, listen, I say good morning every morning, and I mean it. But today, really, I take deep meaning into it. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, David. Yeah, I almost shot my eye out yesterday listening to Steve Cohen. Let's be completely honest. I mean, that's like Blue Chew for Mets fans. I mean, everything he said. The prepared stuff wasn't his best. When he started answering questions, though, I mean, how could you not fall in love with this guy? It's exactly what you want. I said it yesterday. This is if Dave Rothenberg or Rick DiPietro were worth $14 billion and loved the New York Mets and were able to buy the New York Mets, he's doing what we would do.
Exactly what we would do. And we're gonna hear him, you know, early this morning. We'll hear cuts from what he had to say yesterday. But we want to certainly get into the Mets fans as well with you with the conversation. 800-919-3776. Rick, how could you be a Mets fan? And every friend that I have that's a Mets fan that got in touch with me yesterday had the same reaction. I can't believe this is happening. Like we have dealt with the Wilpons, who tried the best that they could, but we're just in a very difficult position for the last number of years. How could you not be a Mets fan and just be ecstatic to wake up this morning and think of what the future of this ball club is going to be?
Yeah, you couldn't. I mean, you could. It was tough for Sandy Alderson. I mean, he's the president to hold back with how excited he was. I mean, we can now emphasize the acquisition rather than the cost. Mm. I mean, that tells you everything you need to know with what Sandy Alderson was dealing with when the Wilpons owned the team. Everything. It wasn't what was going to be.
We speculated about it, Rico, but that was Sandy Alderson saying that what we thought is exactly what was going on. It was about the bottom line. It was about the cost. It wasn't necessarily about fielding the best team that you possibly could.
Exactly right. I mean, it's good. This team is going to be, like they said, meat and potatoes. But I mean, they'll be able to do some shopping in the more expensive aisle. Sandy Alderson have to find the aisle because he's never been there before when the Wilpons own the team. But I mean, everything that Steve Cohen said, I'm not in this to be mediocre. I'm not in this to make money.
I love that one. That might have been one of my favorites. I'm not in it to make money. This guy has billions. He doesn't need to make money. And I want to do it for you. Like, I want to make people happy. I mean, that's exactly what you want to hear if you're a fan of any organization.
No, it's exactly what you want to hear. And the fact that his wife is a lifelong Mets fan, his father-in-law is a lifelong Mets fan.
Yep.
I mean, he is in this to bring a championship to Mets fans. I mean, that's why he did this. And Canty and I always try to tell you this, and you don't believe us, you don't want to believe us, that a lot of these owners aren't, if they win a championship, great, but they're more concerned about the bottom line. That's not what Steve Cohen's in.
So he's not that guy, right?
He is.
I don't care about making $100 million, losing $100 million. I want to win.
He wants to win. And now it's not going to be, he's not going to be willy-nilly with his money, because that's not how he, you know, that's not how he became a guy who's worth $14 billion. He's a smart businessman. So the other thing I really liked is when they asked him, you know, how involved you'll be in baseball-related decisions. He's like, well, I played Little League, but, yeah. I mean, I hired Sandy Alderson. Whoever Sandy hires as the president and GM, you know, they'll make recommendations to me. I'll ask, you know, poignant questions, and then they'll ultimately be the ones that make the decision. There's going to be a level of accountability now with this organization that I don't think that we've had with the Wilpons.
Ever.
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 I mean, but it's almost like he just sat back. I mean, he was a minority owner. He said that's more like being a season ticket holder, and just watched how this team ran its business and now is able, because he owns the team, to to fix what he didn't like? Because clearly there were things that happened that were happening that he wasn't on board with.
Oh, I'm sure there was, Rick. But when you start talking about accountability, you have to go back to what the objective of ownership is. And with the Wilpons, it wasn't about trying to win at the highest levels. It was about making sure that you fielded a team that would ensure that you'd be relevant, but you were trying to be, you know, frugal with the financial resources that the organization had. And so I think that this regime change, I think Steve Cohen wants to make it abundantly clear, like he expects this team to be competing at a championship level. Like the model is the Dodgers. Like the Dodgers were sold in what, 2012, and 8 years later they won a championship.
And they've been in the postseason.
He laid down the timeline and saying he wants it 3 to 5 years. He'd be disappointed if you didn't win a chip in 3 to 5 seasons. And he said it's not that he wants to have a flash in the pan team. He doesn't want to have a team that's really good 1 year and a team that's bad. He wants a team that's going to be really good, but that's also set up for sustained success. And that means allocating the resources that it takes to build the infrastructure, to rebuild the farm system, to put smart people in place. And when you have an owner that's willing to spare no expense in order to do those things, that's going to give your team an opportunity to set itself up for long-term success. And as a Mets fan, how could you not love that?
You love it. And really, in theory, forever, right? I mean, you would think if you're a Mets fan right now that you're going to be, and I'm not trying to stir up competition or make anybody angry. I'm really not. The Yankees, like, that's what you think you're going to be, a team that every single season is competing for a championship. And I know the Yankees have been disappointed over the last, you know, X number of years, but, you know, it's not the Mets. It's not where you're not making the postseason when 16 teams make it. I expect the Mets to
be... But it's game five of the ALDS. It's game seven of the ALCS.
Yes, exactly.
They're knocking at the door.
I expect the Mets to be that. I fully expect the Mets to be the Dodgers, the Yankees on that level. And if they're not, and soon, I will be very disappointed.
No, I know you will be, Dave, but you won't be the only person that's disappointed. You know that ownership will be disappointed, too. You couldn't say that when the Wilpons own the team. If they won, would it be great? Sure. But that wasn't their priority.
No.
With this guy, winning is the priority. He already makes enough money with .72. The one thing I did like, though, is that he plans on holding people accountable like he did at his other business, and he's going to ask questions, and he expects reasonable answers. Like, it's not going to be, okay, I'm going to hire some smart baseball people and they're going to have carte blanche. If he asks them a question and they don't give him a good answer, then there is going to be some level of accountability. And that answer, it better be something that he can understand, he can process, and you realize, okay, that's something that leads to winning. Because if the answer doesn't come back to putting the team in the best position to be successful and win games, then that person's probably not going to be long for the Mets organization. And that's what you got to love as a Mets fan. It's almost like a Mets fan, you know, one of them bought the team. That's what it comes down to. This is Steve Cohen. I know he's got $14 billion, but it's Steve from Great Neck that bought the team.
You know what's amazing to me, too? I mean, we always ask Buster and we have, you know, ask Jeff Passan, you know, how do people around Major League Baseball feel about the New York Mets? And the fact that Passan would actually tweet that the press conference is over and that is the most competent the New York Mets have sounded in decades. They just want one press conference.
But wasn't it? I mean, you heard it. You listened to all these press conferences. You know what this team is about.
But that's sad.
Well, I mean, sad or not, you know what? Let's look at it positively and optimistically. That's amazing.
Well, that's amazing. But again, it's just a press conference. Like Steve Cohen, outside of hiring Sandy Alderson and getting rid of Brody Van Wagenen, which I think anyone would have done, he hasn't done anything yet. So it's been so bad for so long that just a change in ownership in a press conference was enough for people to believe, okay, this is way better than it was.
Yeah, because I think you know what the change of ownership means. And he said it yesterday, and we'll hear from Steve Cohen in a second. It means I'm going to spend money. And we haven't had that.
Spend good money, though.
Spend money. I mean, I'm going to go out. Like, is there any move that the Mets could make this offseason that you'd say, no, I don't think that's realistic? I mean, really? I mean, is there any move that they could make you'd say, oh, Dave, I don't. Bauer, no. Springer, no. Realmuto, Lindor, Arenado. Like, there's nothing that they could do that you'd say is out of reach right now.
No, but what I like is that they're going to make smart moves. This isn't just we're going to spend money to spend money. This is going to be, I mean, the list of positives, I mean, outside of just free agency, I mean, with, you know, the increase, you know, in money for analytics, with the farm system, developing players, the fact that you can make a mistake and you can, you know, you can get yourself out of it. Like, a mistake on a contract isn't going to handcuff you. Like, I mean, there's so many different things. Like, actually developing players and being able to keep your players. Mm-hmm. Like maybe keeping a Zach Wheeler instead of letting him go to the Phillies.
Or letting Jared Klinik stay in your system and not
trade. That trade would have never been made.
Diaz and Robbie Cano.
Like there's so many positives to this move. So many. And I love the fact that they took so many subtle shots yesterday without actually taking full blown shots. Like I'm not gonna let anyone you're not gonna get experience on my dime. Okay. Okay, Brody, you're not going to get the experience on. I'm not going to pay you to get your experience on the job.
Yeah, well, I don't even know how great that Fred experience was a great, has been.
Fred Wilpon was a great guy. Okay, so that means you didn't like Jeff, right? Okay,
I mean, that's exactly what it means. Wow. But you've heard that.
I know.
You've heard that from everybody, that Fred Wilpon is a wonderful man and a great owner and gotten into a tough situation, and that Jeff is not really respected all that much.
Yeah. I heard everything I needed to hear yesterday.
Yep. Could not have felt better about that.
But how great is this for Steve Cohen, though? Like, I mean, earlier this year they were talking about buying the team and that Jeff Wilpon will have to hang around for the next 5 years and run it. And now you bought it for less money than you were initially proposing and you get to take over immediately. And not only that, but you're taking over in a time and space where there are going to be opportunities from a personnel standpoint with the guys on the field, but also the people that are in your organization running the baseball operations. Like, how great is it for Steve Cohen? Like, the timing on this is perfect. If you're a Mets fan, you got to be giddy right now, man.
Couldn't be better. He actually saved himself almost $200 million, too.
Yeah, but it's not that bad.
That's why he has $14 billion.
No, but I mean, you save yourself, the initial offer is $2.6.
Right.
You end up saving yourself, you know,
$175.
Almost $200 million.
Right.
And on top of it, you don't have to deal with Jeff Wilpon for 5 years.
That's right. Couldn't have worked out better. But doesn't it typically, when you're that wealthy, it typically works that well for you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But sometimes, I mean, it does unless all of a sudden you let emotion get in the way of smart business. And that potentially could have happened because he loves the Mets.
I think he's just too smart. I really do. I think he doesn't get into business deals that he winds up losing.
But he's willing to take that risk because he's going to lose money. In the first couple of years of this deal, he's going to lose money.
But I mean, in the grand scheme of things to him. So
I don't know if it's, I don't even know if I want to characterize it as a loss, Rico, because he's going to get the return on that money. Like, it's going to come back in the form of his team being consistently competitive and being in the playoffs every single year, being a perennial contender. Like, that money will come back to him. Like, that's just the investment that you have to take, the principle, so to speak. Eventually, you know, he's going to realize the value in investing in the team the
Absolutely.
Way that he's going to be asked to the next couple of years.
I will tell you this. If this was not a pandemic, if leaving the house wasn't of great concern, by the end of that press conference yesterday, I would have been on the phone and gotten some semblance of season tickets. Either a
wow.
week, oh, 100%. Weekend plan, a mini plan, a couple of week, not like, 100% I would have gone out and gotten some semblance of season tickets. How could you not?
Oh, you had to love it, Dave. And the thing that I appreciated the most about it is he started a press conference and talking about the history of him being a fan of the organization, going to the games at the Polo Grounds with his dad and taking the train with his buddy to sit in the upper deck at Shea Stadium. Like being able to talk about those experiences, that's relatable because that's every other Mets fan. And so now to have one of your own purchase the team, and this guy has billions upon billions that he's willing to invest in it because guess what? He has another business that makes him plenty of money, and he's not worried about the bottom line as far as the club. I don't know how you couldn't be excited. I mean, it was like Christmas Day yesterday if you're a Mets fan.
It was a great day. Let's listen to a little bit of Steve Cohen, and then we'll get to the phone calls, 800-919-3776. We'll go kind of right in order, Santi. We'll start with wanting to build a champion here for the New York Mets.
New York fans have high expectations, and I want to exceed them. I want an exceptional team. I want a team that's built to be great every year. I don't just want to get into the playoffs. I want to win a championship.
It sounds like me. He wants to win a championship. That's what it's all about.
No, that's the reason why. I mean, that's the reason why you do this, or you hope that the owner of your team is, that's the reason why he's
I mean, the
this.
Ultimate goal for any fan, for any player, for any employee of any
I
season.
I want a championship!
Is that. Now, he was a little more reserved than I am, but I mean, don't you feel like you have a fan running the team now, Rick?
I said that yesterday, yeah. Oh, I mean, how many times so do you need to say it? I mean,
another one would be nice.
You and him is that he's actually like a functional adult. You're, I mean,
you don't
a
know how functional.
Maniac.
I'm functional.
You're a savage maniac.
But I'm functional.
I couldn't even imagine Like, if in the middle of a Mets game, if you own the team, like this just a devastating loss, and they pan the camera up to the owner's suite, you'd be just losing your mind. You'd probably be half naked.
He'd be breaking stuff.
Yeah. He'd be guaranteed. Breaking stuff. If they win it, if they won a championship, he'd be naked running around the suite.
With the suite, I'd be on the field. Are you kidding me? If I own the team and we won a title,
how does Major League Baseball handle that, Rico? The owner naked running around.
I'd make Justin Turner look like he was benign. I would be in the middle. I'd be right in the middle of the celebration.
Oh my gosh.
Champagne. Oh.
Wow.
They'd be doing champagne losers off Dave's naked body. Oh, absolutely.
We'd be like something you've never seen before.
That's great.
Absolutely.
That's the feeling you got.
Everything about how Steve Cohen has done this has been great.
Everything
about how he's played it has been good. It has been, man. I mean, just, you know, like Rick said, not letting emotion get in the way of him, you know, being able to re-engineer the deal and then having Sandy Alderson in place even before you take ownership of the team. And then as soon as you get it, you decide to clean house and get Brody Van Wagenen and his staff out there. And then you let it be known to the Mets fans, to the guys in the clubhouse and the people around the baseball world what the standard is going to be over there at Citi Field. I mean, I just step by step, the way that he's handled this, he couldn't have done it better, man.
Nope. Couldn't be better. Here's one I really enjoyed yesterday. Why did you want to be owner of the New York Mets? Here's Steve Cohen.
I went to the Polo Grounds with my dad, I think 1963. And, you know, I used to go with my buddies. We used to take the train from Great Neck, take it to Shea Stadium stop, and, you know, sit in the upper deck. We had a phenomenal time. And, you know, that's when you develop your affiliations with teams, you know. So I was 13 when they won their first World Series. And so, you know, it's I'm a baseball fan. My family's, you know, great Mets fans, great baseball fans. And so, you know, it's going to be a family effort here, and we're all very excited.
And we're all, Steve, we're all very excited. You know, it'd be a great Hanukkah present. Hanukkah's early this year, too, December 10th, for his wife, like a Trevor Bauer or a George Springer.
Well, you heard Sandy Alderson.
I think
Sandy Alderson sounds
both.
Like he loves him some Trevor Bauer.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, Bauer actually retweeted it, what Sandy had said.
Well, he wants to
it's
get
It's possible
paid.
Now. I mean, you're actually going to function like a big market team. Which we never did.
You are a big market team. You might be the biggest of the big market team right now.
Yeah, I can tell in Canty's voice he's a little nervous. Little bit nervous.
You know, Rico, I know it's going to be competition in the town, but I actually think that this is a great thing for baseball. So, I mean, I never looked at the Mets as a legitimate rival for us.
Because we never were.
Did. Yeah, exactly. I mean, outside of the Subway Series, I never really felt threatened by the Mets. And so, I mean, yeah, there's going to be competition for spending, and there are going to be really smart baseball people in the front office for the Mets, just like the Yankees have. And so now it'll heat up a little bit around the town, but I think that'll make it more exciting. That'll make it more entertaining. I don't know how you could look at Steve Cohen owning the Mets as a bad thing.
You can't.
You can't, even if you're a Yankees fan.
I would disagree with that. I'm sure Yankees fans are a little bit nervous.
I'm sure Yankees fans do not like
this. I'm not nervous about it. I'm really not.
You say that. I mean, you're the same guy at
Rico, I'm not nervous about it because guess what? If we do have to go through the Mets on the way to the championship, that'll be in a World Series. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, but now you're
Let's just get
players.
Back to the World Series. We ain't been there since 2009.
But what happens if the Mets swoop in and just say, DJ LeMahieu, come play for the Mets? Like, you're
DJ LeMahieu's already said he wants to stay with the Yankees. So well, if the Yankees have anything that's in the ballpark, then I'm pretty sure that he's going to be back with the Yankees. I don't think this is going to be Steve Cohen, you know, going out and paying to buy every single player that's in the free agent market. They're not going to do that. I think they're going to be smart in how they spend money. But they're not going to be afraid to spend top of the market money, top tier free agents that can make a difference, like Trevor Bauer.
I think that there will be battles, and maybe not LeMahieu per se, but I think there will be battles between the Mets and the Yankees for high price free agents. And I don't think the Yankees have an advantage anymore, where you could never, ever say anything like that.
No, it could be an option now, though. I mean, I think if in the past, if the money was close between the Yankees and the Mets, you wouldn't even think about the Mets.
No, you
wouldn't
even think
consider
about
it. But now all of a sudden, because, I mean, it's to have, listen, to have a rival executive call Joel Sherman and say that Mets fans should be dancing in the streets after the press conference, I mean, that's going to be the thought with agents too, that are advising their players where they think they should go.
Oh yeah, Scott Boras got a smile on his face now because there's two New York franchises that he can ping offers off of in order to drive up the market. You have two of those now.
So good.
So yeah, I mean this is a good thing all the way around for baseball.
These teams have reputations too. Players talk. Like all the teams have reputations. It's like when the Jets tried to sign Canty. Canty had heard what it was like to be in that building, and he was all set with it.
Unless you guys were professional athletes, if you were a free agent and you were at the top of your game, both of you, and the Mets came calling 2 years ago, you'd probably say no, thank you. If they came calling tomorrow, would you be more interested than you would have been?
Yes.
It's not even a question.
Yeah. But I think if you're a free agent and the money is the same, you're still probably going to lean toward the Yankees just because there's more of a track record. Now, as things go on, we'll see.
You got to like the infrastructure, though.
The Mets are going to build it, man. This is a positive day for them. I think Mets fans should be ecstatic about Steve Cohen purchasing the team because from what it sounds like, they're going to do business completely different from the Wilpons. And that's what you want. Going back to the correspondence between Sandy Alderson and Steve Cohen when the deal came back to life. And Sandy said, we're going to try to untether, from the Mets history and reimagine the club and what it could be and operate more like the Yankees or the Dodgers. Be a competent, whole functioning franchise.
But when you have
that at the highest levels of your organization as, okay, this is what we want to be, them laying it out like that, that's what it's going to happen. That's what it's going to be. They'll do whatever it takes, and you have somebody that has the resources in order to make that happen. They can put together the infrastructure.
Yeah, but the infrastructure is already, to a certain degree, in place. This doesn't have to be a slow burn.
Like, the infrastructure is in place?
Well, no, as far as what's on the field. I mean, this team
is not far away from being a competitive team.
But that's not what I'm talking about with the infrastructure, though.
That's not what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about, but he can reimagine it. And at the same time, compete to win the NL East. Like, this is a you can build the foundation of the organization while still winning. Like, this team is going to be a really good baseball team.
This is doing exactly what the Giants thought they could be doing in 2018, right? Which is retooling this thing on the fly, compete now and for the future. Remember when Dave Gettleman laid that out and we all knew that was baloney? Well, if you're the Mets, you can actually do that. That can actually happen now because you do have talent on this team. A couple of years ago, you did make a playoff push and came up just short. You won 86 games. So a lot of those pieces are still in place. And you can supplement your roster with the money that Steve Cohen is ready to spend right now in free agency, like getting a Trevor Bauer or getting a George Springer. Like, that puts you there to compete with the other teams in your division, to compete with the Atlanta Braves. If you're the Mets, if you're a Mets fan, you got to be excited about it.
It's only good.
Have to be.
It's only good. 800-919-3776. Let's hit some of these Mets fans. Let's start out with Andrew in Jersey City. Good morning, Andrew. You lead us off on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, guys. I love the show. I couldn't be more excited as a Mets fan this morning. I'm right around 30, and I've just known misery, except for 2015 and 2016 when we made the wild card. What I wanted to know, Chris and Rick, what do you guys think that locker room is like? I'm sure when the Wilpons were in charge, there might have been a lot of like, oh, there's a lot of mediocrity that's going on, and that's something that Steve Cohen kind of touched on a lot, that I thought was kind of like a subtle shot at the Wilpons. But what do you guys think that locker room is like? What's the feeling there? If you're a player on the Mets right now,
it's go time.
The Mets players feel like the Mets fan feels right now.
Yeah, it's go time. I mean, you feel like you finally have an owner in place that's not going to undermine your chances of winning just to protect their bottom line. That makes a difference, man, because there are some owners in professional sports that aren't going to spend what it takes to take advantage of what you already have in that clubhouse or that locker room. And that's a frustrating feeling. Now, thank God I never played for any of those franchises, but I got buddies that did in the NFL, and they hated it. Like having friends that played for the Cincinnati Bengals. Like, you know you're probably not going to compete for a championship if you're with the Cincinnati Bengals because they're not going to spend what it takes. But if you play for the New York Giants or you play for the Baltimore Ravens, You play for the Dallas Cowboys, you know you have an owner that's not going to spare any expense. Now, they might not always make the best decisions, but money's not going to get in the way of them doing what they think is in the best interest of the team winning. And that's what the Mets finally have.
And you can feel all that in the locker room. I mean, players aren't stupid. I mean, they see where you're cutting corners and everything else. Like, they can tell. You can tell immediately if, you know, your franchise has no interest in really being competitive.
Rico, I go back to the thing about the high-speed cameras around the ballpark. Like, how is that something that you don't do for your team? When every other club around baseball does that, how could you not do that if you were the Mets?
I don't understand that. I mean, you're talking to somebody who, I mean, they wouldn't even give us shower sandals or hockey bags. They used to send us home with trash bags with our gear.
Come on, are you serious?
Oh yeah,
they gave you trash bags to bring your stuff home.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, there are teams around the NFL that made their players pay for extra pairs of socks.
I mean, that's embarrassing.
Dave, our gym was a trailer. It was a trailer, a legitimate trailer.
But I think bringing home your equipment in trash bags might be the worst of the worst.
We didn't have a pregame snack.
What'd they give you, like nuts on an airplane?
No, you had no pregame snack. Like, you go to pregame meal, you'd eat, and then you'd wake up, and then you ate at noon, and then from noon to when the game was being played, you were on your own. Like, go to Starbucks and get yourself something. Well, every other team has, like, these big spreads of oatmeal and you name it. Because they realize that's important. Like, nutrition is important.
Well, of course it's important.
Yeah, but those are the little things that bad teams do.
Well, I don't think you have to worry about that.
Not now you don't.
Nope.
And because the team's willing to do those extra little things for the players, now it puts the onus on the players. Like, if I know the owner of my team is doing everything in his power to make us successful, now it's on me.
This is going to be a destination.
Now I have no excuses.
Guys are going to want to come play for the Mets, I'm telling you. And it's going to be immediate. You're going to see. This offseason will be a home run for the Mets. I would be stunned if it wasn't.
Because it's the perfect set of circumstances. You already have a good team, and now all of a sudden you got a great owner who wants to win a championship in 3 to 5 years. And you got a bunch of teams that are looking to move really good players. You got a bunch of executives that have lost their jobs that you can add to your front office. And on top of it, I mean, when you look at the needs the Mets have and what's available in free agency, I mean, you can fill a bunch of needs in a hurry. I mean, dude, I'm telling you right now, this is what this team will look like after free agency is going to be, I mean, you'll feel like this team is...
No Michael Wacha.
No Wacha.
No Rick Porcello.
The interesting thing, I'll be interested to see what happens with Stroman. If Stroman decides he wants to take that qualifying offer.
Take the 18.9 and pitch for the Mets?
How could he not? That's crazy.
Be crazy not to.
Good. I hope he does.
He'll be motivated.
Give me Bauer. Give me Stroman. A healthy Syndergaard when we get around to it. DeGrom and Taijuan Walker. Boom. There's my rotation.
Yeah, how about what Sandy said, too? I mean, had this gone through sooner, he probably would have picked up Hand, too.
Yep. They're going to be very aggressive. And it's going to start really quickly. It's going to be like my thought bubble song that goes around with me for the next God knows how long. Steve Cohen taking over the Mets. Really, I mean, I feel so good. I haven't felt like this good about the Mets in forever. Since 2015. 5 years.
No, we need it. And the one other thing before we get back into these calls that I did like is the fact, I mean, he's saying the same things we're saying, too, is that this can't be, let's catch lightning in a bottle. We'll try to compete for a year, and then all of a sudden we're bad again.
Yep.
This is sustainable.
They're all in. This is the whole thing has changed. The entire process, the entire organization, the way they handle their business, it is all changed. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, guests on DCR appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Now today, it's obviously a big day for the Mets fan, and it's obviously a big day for this country as well. Today's Veterans Day, and we wanted to take a minute and just kind of discuss how thankful we are for people that have served and continue to serve and will continue to serve. And we hear at 98.7 ESPN are thankful for the amazing men and women of the armed forces who have served our country and the incredible sacrifices they've made. And I have names like Sonia McGee, her husband Jamel, her father Herman Kirby, her uncle Jack Chandler, and two brothers, Curtis and Herman Kirby, who all served in the United States Army. To Sonia's family and all the men and women who have served and are still serving, 98.7 ESPN thanks you and continues to thank you for defending our freedom. So, granted, big day in the sports world, but always a bigger day on days like this on Veterans Day.
This is a really important day, and the two words that come to mind are gratitude and admiration for everything these men and women sacrifice and what their families sacrifice for our freedom. I mean, this is a really important day to make sure you just take a minute to be thankful that there are men and women that protect us every single day.
Well, freedom isn't free, right, Rico? And nope. It's paid for by the men and women that have served and those that continue to serve. And I got three uncles that were in the armed forces, so today is a day where we can thank them. We thank all the other people that serve this country and that keep us safe. I mean, without their sacrifices, America wouldn't be what it is today. So from the bottom of our hearts, we want to thank them.
Absolutely. And I think we take for granted because it's just they do what they do and we do what we do. And what they do is a lot braver and tougher. And,
they allow us to take it for granted.
It's true. They do, because you don't have to spend every day thinking about it, where other countries, you have to think about it constantly. And
could you imagine, Dave, could you imagine this, though? And I always ask my dad, because my dad served in the Army in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. He actually enlisted at 19 years old.
No.
To go fight in Vietnam.
No.
I swear to God.
I'm not saying you're not.
I couldn't imagine it. At 19 years old?
No, I can't imagine anything like that.
I couldn't even comprehend.
Those who have never had that commitment and been involved with that could never imagine.
Never.
How could we?
You couldn't. 19 years old.
The things we complain about, the things that bother us, they'd laugh at that stuff.
The things he saw at 19 years old.
Oh, God. Oh. I'm sure.
Amazing.
I'm sure. It's terrible. It really is. But a big and really an all day from all of us at the station to everyone out there and family members. And it's not just the people that enlist, by the way, Rick. How about the family members of the people that enlist? That might be more stressful than going over to war.
It's the husbands and wives, man.
Right?
It really is.
The sons, the daughters.
Yep.
The parents. Could you imagine that?
No, I couldn't. I mean, can you imagine being, having your son or daughter?
No.
Oh, I'd be a nervous wreck.
When I drop my kids at school, Alex more than Ben, because Ben's 13, but Alex 10, when I drop him at school, I'm like, just let him come home safe and healthy. I really think that every single day. Could you imagine if your kid went to war?
No, I couldn't.
What you would think?
No. Absolutely could not.
Really, a huge, huge thank you to all of you guys and the family members and everyone from all of us here at 98.7 ESPN. All right, let's get back to some of these Mets calls. Let's go to Andy in Queens. Andy with a different take, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, what's up, guys? First of all, I think you guys are awesome. Listening to you guys is like being in the backyard with your best buddies and talking sports. There's nothing better. So thank you for that, guys.
Well, thank you for the kind compliment.
No point. No problem. Secondly, I'm a diehard Yankee fan, but I also love the game of baseball, and this does not bother me at all. I'm not upset. Actually, I think it's great. It's going to be great for baseball, and more importantly, living in New York, it's going to be awesome. There's nothing like the Mets and the Yankees being good at the same time. It lifts up the city, and you know what? With everything going on, maybe that's what we need next year. So thank you, guys. Thank you for taking my call, and I'll hang up and listen.
Well, we appreciate it. I will say this, and I believe that Chris thinks this, and I believe that Andy in Queens thinks this. I just wonder if and when the Mets are at that ilk, and if and when there's a Trevor Bauer and there's a bidding war and he chooses the Mets over the Yankees, if you still take that same tact of, this is great, and I'm excited, and I want to see both the Mets and the Yankees be very good. I don't know. I'm not sure about that.
Well, I think if the Mets start to hinder the Yankees' ability to sign players that can help them win a championship. Yeah, I mean, that's going to aggravate
the
Yankees
fan.
But
don't you envision that at some point?
Yeah, I mean, at some point that's probably going to happen. But I think it's, the New York Yankees fan treating the Mets fan like, the big brother. All of a sudden now, the little brother has some money to spend.
As a fan, the win feels better when it's against a worthy opponent. And now when we start talking about the Yankees and the Mets going back and forth, like, if we have the better team in a given year, it's going to feel better just because you know that there's competition. I mean, there hasn't been any competition, in the last decade and a half since with the Mets and the Yankees. There really hasn't been. I mean, outside of that blip that you had in 2015 and getting to the World Series, there really hasn't been any talk of, okay, the Yankees are at the same level as the Mets are at the same level as the Yankees. That hadn't existed. So, I mean, the fact that you now have an owner that's going to be in the marketplace, that's going to be going toe-to-toe in terms of trying to acquire players and make smart moves to set his team up to be successful in that given year, but also over the long term, I just feel like it adds a little more fuel to the fire, and that's exciting.
I think it's great for the rivalry.
Well, think about how Yankees and Mets fans are going to be going back and forth now about whose team is better. I mean, the last 3 or 4 years, you couldn't have that conversation. But now you can.
No, the only conversation the only thing that you felt good about
as
pitcher.
A Mets fan is Pete Alonso and Jacob DeGrom the last couple of years.
That's right. All you could say is, well, we have the better starting pitcher. And even when you sign Gerrit Cole, we still believe we have the better starting pitcher. But
yeah.
I mean, we couldn't make the postseason when everybody made the postseason. Let's be fair. This is if not for Steve Cohen, a floundering franchise. And that changed yesterday.
Yeah, but I think it's easier for a Yankees fan not to be concerned because there has been no reason for concern.
Yeah.
Until all of a sudden you start
that.
I mean, you
but
start
I,
losing.
I think that's good. I really believe that's going to change. And not that it's going to make the Yankees not terrific. The Yankees are going to be great regardless of what the Mets are. But I think the Yankees fan is going to have a disdain for the Mets and the Mets fan because I think the Mets are going to be real players.
But because we'll actually have, we'll be able to finally, for the first time in a long time, be able to stand our ground. Like going back and forth with the Yankees fan. Like, what is our ammunition? You guys bought a championship?
That's right.
Okay, great. Yeah, we bought a championship.
I'll take the championship, please.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But we don't have a lot.
No, but now hopefully
we
will.
Yeah, but you won't use that argument anymore now that you have an owner that's willing to have a top five payroll in baseball.
That's right. Oh. That's right. Get more time to listen to our show by going to Shell and getting three things done at once. First, fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus. Then save up with the Fuel Rewards program. Finally, snack up to save even more at the pump. Make the most of the stop that you need to make with Shell. 800-919-3776. Of course, Dan Graziano is going to join us at 10:30 this morning. Observations immediately following that. So those are ready? Those are in the chamber, the observations?
Yeah, locked and loaded.
Beautiful.
It's about the only thing in the chamber after that press conference.
Yeah, it was quite the press conference. Let's continue along with our dear buddy, Cullum in the Bronx. No more Dempsey. He is now Cullum. Good morning, Cullum.
Morning, David. Good morning, Ricardo. Good morning, Christopher. How you guys doing?
We're doing great.
I just wanted to say, I'm a veteran, and I want to thank you guys on this day, because when I joined the military back in 2015, I lost out. I was out in Hawaii on a boat 200 miles offshore most of the time. I lost out on listening to New York sports and following New York sports. I grabbed the ESPN app, and I started listening to Han and Humpty, and then after listening to Solo Dave, who's a bigger maniacal Giants fan than I could ever be, and I fell in love with that. And then, Chris added on, and I fell in love with this, and now I spent the last 2 years of my military time in New York listening to you guys every chance I get. And then I got out of the military, and now I'm a traveling HVAC tech for the tri-state area, so now I get to listen to you guys as well every day, so... For my time in the military and all the time after, I got to thank you guys because you guys are great. And
every other show
too, especially Han.
Thank you. What we're doing is not nearly.
It's not taxing. It's not difficult. Truly what we do
is fun.
And I know
it means a lot to other listeners too.
Well, we appreciate that and the fact that we can add some happiness and enjoyment and time of fun for listeners and people that are in difficult situations is great. But what we do is a pleasure to be able to do. You're the one. People like you, Cullum Dempsey, are the ones that we really thank.
I appreciate that. Really yep. Quick, before I get off, Tate Crowder, O'Shane Zimenez, and Xavier McKinney, that second-round pick that I've been dying to see, they're all designated to come back to return. Do you think those three additions is going to be a huge difference to this defense? Let me know what you think, Chris and Dave. Thanks,
well,
guys.
I think they're young players that you want to see more of, right? Especially Zimenez, because he's supposed to be a guy that's going to bring some heat off the edge. So, I mean, Xavier McKinney, we'll see whether he can get up to speed. Missing a lot of reps as a defensive back in the National Football League, missing a lot of games. I don't know how much he's going to be able to contribute when he does get back. But he's a guy that you want to see. And then Tay Crowder, we'll see what happens with that more depth at the linebacker spot. But for me, you're just thinking about what Patrick Graham has done with this defense and excited to see what happens when he gets more players, more young guys, what they can show down the stretch. That's really what it's about. It's evaluating the young talent that you have for the Giants right now. Daniel Jones is at the heart of that, but you also want to see those guys on the defensive side of the ball.
Absolutely. And I'm looking forward to seeing McKinney. I mean, this was – the Giants loved him. And if you remember, Kuiper with his analysis was discussing that he's could be the top safety in the entire draft. Well, they haven't had that all season. They were planning on that. So, yeah, I don't know that it's going
to. I don't know how much he's going to be able to contribute, though, Dave. I guess that's what I'm
saying. But I'm still excited to see him. And knowing that I have what was considered to be the top safety in the draft moving forward after this season, it matters. Mm-hmm. It does. I'm excited about that.
Could I get a caca too, please, Santi?
This better be good.
This is great for you.
This is great for me.
This is great Giants news.
Now, is this sincere, or am I going to find out you're going to make fun of me here?
No, I'm not making fun of you. How can I make fun of you? You actually have a player that won an award. Graham Gano was named Special Teams Player of the Week.
Yeah, how about that?
That's nice.
He has been unbelievable, huh?
He's been money. 19-20 this season.
Sensational.
Hello.
Sensational.
It's good for you guys.
Very good.
Special big game coming up. Big game coming up. I like the fact the Jets are on a bye. I can put all my focus into this Giants game.
Oh, and I meant to mention to you guys. So I didn't realize, and I guess nobody listening yesterday realized and or corrected me. The Masters is 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. So it'll be over.
Yeah, well, it's because it's November. It gets dark earlier.
I understand. But that's why all the CBS games are in the 4 o'clock window. So you have 5 games at 1 o'clock. You actually have 6 games at 4 o'clock this weekend.
Correct.
So now I might involve myself with a little bit of golf on Sunday morning.
And somehow Tony Romo gets the week off.
It's amazing, huh?
Because that makes sense.
It's unbelievable.
You're thinking, he's your number one guy. It's him and Nance. Like, you would find, like, and you're paying him, what, $1 million a game?
Yes.
I think he gets, almost $19 million?
I want to say it's 17 and a half. Yeah, 17 and a half.
Yeah.
That you may want to just have him work this week. Yeah, find
a game.
Make
him do the Masters, for God's sakes.
He wishes he was playing in the Masters. That's the problem.
You are not getting this week off.
No, you make him work. I would imagine you'd probably make him work, but I guess.
Evidently not.
Nance doesn't work. Romo doesn't work.
Evidently not. Let's go to Lou. Lou's going to be in a good mood, I think. Lou and Manalapan. Lou, you're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, fellas. Thanks for taking the call. First off, I want to thank all of the veterans and active military men and women of the great country we all live in. But next, let's talk about Steve Cohen really quick. As a New York sports fan, you pray a lot. Sometimes those prayers get answered. Sometimes they're unanswered. But yesterday was a feeling that the prayers have finally been answered. You know, Met fans have been crying about the Wilpons for so long. We've been concerned about what the future of this team was. I called a couple of months ago during the baseball season asking why parents raise their kids as Mets fans. I feel like this guy will feel the Mets losses with us. I feel like if Edwin Diaz blows a 3-run lead in the last inning, I feel like he will make the management decisions or will put someone in the position to make the proper management decisions to go forward and become a successful team.
Yeah, I think we all agree with you. I think this is a guy that when the Mets don't do well, he's going to feel. He told you. He's a long-suffering Mets fan, right? He's gone to Shea Stadium from the very inception. He's been there. He talked about the Cleon Jones catch. Like, he's a Mets fan. And he told you, making money, this is not an investment. Making money on this team is not something that he needs and or expects.
And how exciting is it to actually get, we're going to have two sports teams in the same sport. You might get it in hockey with the Rangers and Islanders and the Devils all rebuilding at once. But with the Mets and the Yankees kind of becoming, the Yankees have been competitive for so long.
Well, time out for a quick second. The Islanders are not rebuilding.
I knew you were not.
No, they weren't.
The Islanders are in the Eastern Conference Finals. Let's relax. Take a step back.
I wasn't trying to go there, Rick.
It's very sensitive, Lou. I apologize.
We didn't get swept out of the plane.
Very sensitive.
We didn't get swept out of the plane.
He's very sensitive. He's holding on to every straw he can find. Yes.
But the point is now we have two. You watch football. It's painful to get through the season. You have the Jets and Giants stinking up the
you got three functional you got three functional professional sports teams, maybe four.
I'm gonna Islanders. Thanks for the call, Lou. You have the Nets.
I don't know about the Nets yet.
There's
still a question mark with the Nets.
I'm not going to give them that one.
Alternating coaches and everything else.
Yeah, Islanders, Rangers, Yankees. That's what you got.
And you have the Mets. And you know what? You say functional, and you have the Rangers.
That's what I said.
Yeah, now the Mets. So it'll be four and potentially five.
Yeah, it'll be four.
I mean, it was three.
Yeah.
It was three until yesterday.
Yeah. Now they're functional.
Feels so good. Oh, feels so good.
Couldn't be better.
More than functional.
No, they're going to be the team that you hated. You're going to go from the team that you hated to being the team that is hated.
Which I love.
Of course you love it.
Which I love.
Because that's all we've ever really wanted.
That means because people are jealous. There'll be some jealousy involved.
That's all we... Every time we say, oh, the Yankees buy championships, that's because we're jealous.
Yeah.
That's what it is. There's low legitimacy to that argument at all.
I would never have said that. I never would have admitted that. But that's what it's been. You go out, you buy Gerrit Cole, you bring in this, you know, Jason Giambi, and you bring in A-Rod, and that, because we're jealous. And I don't think we're jealous anymore.
Well, as Mets fans have found out, jealousy will get you nowhere.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Nowhere.
And if you
We actually had a couple guys when I was in Michigan that decided to put, like, we had this school rock, like, that you could paint. Like, teams would paint. Like, if you had a big, you know, a big game coming up, you could paint the rock. And there was this, like, a big giant boulder. When you drove into school, you could see it. So a couple guys on our team thought it was a good idea because we were getting into some spats with, like, the other, like, athletic, like, the other athletes at the school because we were new. They decided one night to go late and write, "Jealousy and envy will get you nowhere" on the big rock. How do you think that... How do you think that landed?
Not well.
Probably not well.
Mayhem. Mayhem. We got guys' cars getting, like, they were, like, guys' cars got painted on. It was a mess.
Wow.
Complete mess. Oh, it was craziness.
They painted guys' cars?
Oh, they started ruining, they ruined a couple of our guys' cars. It was nuts.
That's awful.
That's a fight on site. That's a fight. When I see you, it's a fight on site.
There were some fights.
No question.
That was a crazy experience. That's a crazy experience. So what happens when you have a bunch of 15 and 16-year-olds just move away from home and live on their own in a new high school? It was even better.
Now, Rico,
for me,
were you the guy in the middle of the scrum, or were you the guy that sits back with the popcorn and just watches everything play out?
No, I was the middle
guy. Because I know you stirred the pot.
I like to jump in.
You like to jump in? Okay. Yeah, so you're more hands-on. Okay.
Yeah, but you love to cause trouble.
Yes.
You're right. You were absolutely the guy that was. Yeah, you probably painted the rock.
No. I wouldn't do that. No, I didn't. I was all set with that.
No, he gave him the idea to paint the rock.
That's right.
He's the idea guy in the locker room. Rico has been an idea guy.
I don't think you paint the rock.
It may have been my quote you know me. I'm banking sleep at that point. That's too late for me.
For years later. That's
right. I got a big day of. I had independent study photography, which is a big class for me. I had ceramics.
So it wasn't just photography, which in its own right. It was independent study photography, so just do it whenever you'd like to.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, wow. They really came down hard at this school, huh?
Go develop your own pictures.
Right.
Some ceramics.
What are you taking pictures of?
Senior adult math, which is interesting.
So what is senior adult math?
I have no idea. I had all my credits. I was done. That's what I...
When you're in your 70s and your bank statement comes in, how do you figure it out?
That's when I was doing
adult math?
That's when I started doing the sexual bookmarks that I got in trouble for.
Oh, my God.
Because I was so bored. Yeah, it was bad.
You should write a book.
No, it's too much. But I don't know if you can handle it. It's just too much. You'd think I'd be making up half the stuff.
No, I know you're not.
We ran somebody over.
Dave, it sounds like he went to high school for future professional athletes.
Exactly that.
That's what it ended up being. I mean, that's what it was.
How about all of the like introduction to words, like made-up classes?
That's what they were. That's because I came from a private school. I went to an all-boys private school. And then I went to a public school in Michigan. So I had pretty much all my credits. So I was those are the classes I was taking.
How to insult people in other languages.
Exactly right.
200. Yeah.
I got in trouble too. I was taking some Latin class. And the teacher was like, "How come you can't use anus in this sentence? A-N-U-S?"
Oh, no.
And I decided to say, I raised my hand, "'Cause it stinks." I got kicked out for that.
Oh,
appropriately using saran wrap.
Hainsey got suspended. They had like a special room that was like an emotional support room. Like if you were overwhelmed emotionally in class, you could get like dismissed from class and go down and talk it out.
Overwhelmed in class?
But it was a student.
Exactly.
What does that even mean?
I have no idea. But it was like a person in, like, it was another student that ran the emotional support room.
And we
knew all the people that were in the emotional support
room. So you tried to get kicked out of class every single day.
Well, no, Hainsey did it every single day. He got suspended from the room because he went like 48 straight days.
I can't believe
that he emotionally couldn't handle it.
All right, are you just about ready, Rick? I mean, this is your day. I think you should almost handle this solo, the trivia of the day from Andy.
You said that 2 weeks in a row, and you've answered all eight of Andy's questions.
Because I can't help myself.
Well, that's what I want, though.
And then when he asks the questions and I know the answer, I blurt them out.
Well, blurt it out. Participate.
I can't help it. All right, before we get to Andy, the Michael K. Show's 2020 contest continues to date. Three, the Michael K. Show has talked to and continues to talk to the biggest sports celebrities in the game. And all you have to do is recognize their voice. We'll play a clip of someone they've talked to in the past. You know the answer, you call, and they're very, very easy. It's not really a contest. It's more a giveaway. Make sure you're listening for your chance at 20 great prizes over 20 days to make your home life a little more enjoyable. Today, the guys are giving away a Yeti backpack cooler. It's the 20 and 20 contest brought to you by PC Richard & Son, Kansas City Steak, the Bartesian Premium Cocktails on Demand, and 98.7 ESPN. And let's bring them in, the man of the hour, the great Andy and Merrick. Good morning.
Good morning, DCR. On behalf of the 98.7 ESPN radio listeners, I raise a glass of Tell'em or Do Irish Whiskey to all of our wonderful veterans out there. That being said, it is Wednesday. It is hockey day. You ready, my goalie?
Let's do it.
All right. The Dallas Stars, because I'm still in Dallas, have won Stanley Cup 1999. Who was the Conn Smythe winner that year?
Ooh.
Was it? Was it Brett Hull?
No, I don't.
Not Brett Hull.
Was it Brett Hull?
He was an alternate captain on the team.
Was it Neuendijk?
Joey Neuendijk. Oh, nice. Yes.
Yes.
Speaking of Joseph Neuendijk, he went undrafted in the 1984 entry draft. So what college did he head to?
Cornell.
Cornell, that is correct.
Why are you laughing?
That's so quick. Because you didn't even let him finish the question. You didn't start
the
question.
I was going to go Cornell.
Oh, so
the
good.
Things all I right. know, I know.
You know it. Let's go.
What American-born forward is the oldest player on their current roster, 36 years of age?
Pavelski.
Little Joe is absolutely correct. Save DiPietro. And finally, let's get you back in the crease. Name the goalie who played 2001 to 2010, holds the organization's record for 262 wins. He is.
Who most wins 2000?
Two-time champion at University of Michigan.
Marty Turco.
Marty Turco, right.
Yeah,
my Sven goalie comes through. Fellas, as always, let's be careful out there and stay healthy, boys.
Oh, outstanding, outstanding stuff from Andy and Merrick. Well done, Rick.
Oh, thank you. No, I mean, you. I probably
knew
wouldn't
one.
Have got the,
I knew the Cornell.
Yeah, but I wouldn't
it.
Have got that one. That was the most important one because I don't think I would have got that one.
I don't know how I
so
even
you came
that.
Through right where I needed you.
You ever have that where there's things that you know and you don't even know how you know them?
Yeah, quite. I mean, that happens to me quite a bit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even realize it's in my head until all of a sudden I just blur
yeah.
it out.
All of a sudden, you're like, yeah. oh, I know that. How do I know
then
that?
Then I impress, yeah.
Yeah, very, very strong.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.